God of the promise, God of the future, you see beginning and end. God of the rescue, God of the breakthrough, how great is your faithfulness. You're not done yet. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust. Greater things are still ahead, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. God in my seeking, God in my dreaming, you put a song in my soul. God in the working, God I'm believing, you do the impossible. You're not done yet. Oh, no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, no one could ever comprehend. Your word will be enough, your promise we will trust. Let your glory come down. Don't hold back, don't hold back. You're up to something right now. You're doing a new thing right now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to SQUIM Community Church. It's so great to have you join us for worship this morning. Thanks for joining us on live stream as well. That song this morning, Not Done Yet, just talking about the goodness of God, that He is faithful to finish what He started, and He is working even when we don't see it. And we want to be part of what He's doing. So let's continue to worship together this morning. Put your hands together with us.
The God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors, He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
It's joy.
Joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in
we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, we were the beggars, now we're royalty. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus, all glory to God alone. Praise to the one who holds the throne, name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus, all glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all, name above all names. Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. God, we confess any sins that we may have, Lord, knowing that you've paid the price and you have covered all our sins. Lord, we are so thankful to you. Jesus, we have much to give you thanks and praise and adoration this morning, Lord. Father, we lift up those that are still in need of you for their health, Lord, during this season. Lord, we just ask for you to place a hedge of protection about each one of us, Lord. But God, you are so good. You are so great. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We ask that you continue to speak to us today, Lord. Have your way with each one of our hearts. In your most holy name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, good morning. Hope everyone is doing well today, and greetings to those on the live stream. My name is Rick Dietzman, and I am the associate pastor here at the church. And before we get going, I'm going to give us a few announcements. One of them is our ongoing Speaking of Speakers project. We are continuing to raise funds for that, and that's been exciting because we're going to be able to see the sound improve not only in our fellowship center, but also in the sanctuary, which has not had an upgrade in many, many years. So it's going to be wonderful to see that happen as part of our Refreshing God's House project, which is going great. We've got the kitchen going in over there. We're doing the bathrooms. It's going to be exciting when that's all finished. Another announcement related to our ongoing Restoring Rhythms series, we have workbooks. They have devotions for all of the 10 topics in our series. And we have right now about 215 people doing Restoring Rhythms in small groups. And we have extra workbooks available that we would love for people to take and use. I have some in both buildings. On the back here, there's a pile. There's some in the other building. There's some in the office. I encourage you to take those. Work through the devotions as we go through this series. Do it with your spouse or with a friend. And we want to make sure that these get out. They're a great resource. They're free. I had a lot to do with making these as well as Scott. We both wrote the chapters and the questions for that. It turns out that's a good thing for today because we are going to be talking about prayer, and I happen to write this particular set of devotions. So when I saw the outline, I said, you know what, that looks really familiar, and it's going to be pretty easy for me to talk about our important theme today, which is about prayer. And I'm going to have Jennifer Gillis come on up and read the scripture. We're going to jump right in.
All right, this morning we are reading from Psalm 46 and John 10, 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos and their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And now from John. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice.
Since we're talking about prayer, I thought I'd start with a prayer because we really do need to hear from the Lord. He's got some excellent things for us to take today. Lord, I thank you for the chance to spend time thinking about the practical nature of prayer. And I do want to pray for Pastor Scott that you would bring health to his body. I thank you for the providence of being able to do this message today, because I think there are some things, even in my own story, that might be helpful for people to hear as we're looking at how do we stop and listen? How do we ask for what your will is? And how do we learn to do that together? So please guide our time this morning and take your word, make it real to us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite parts of a curriculum like Restoring Rhythms or Rooted, which we did a couple years ago, is that it provides a workshop, a practical way to learn how to pray. If all things had been going well today with COVID, we would be having a prayer meeting this afternoon at the church, along with a whole bunch of small group activities related to practicing prayer together with others. Now, for whatever reason, thankfully, there's a playoff today, which is kind of weird. I wasn't thinking about that. So we didn't do the prayer meeting today. Plus, people were a little bit worried about COVID. So we pushed that prayer meeting out a couple weeks. We're going to be doing it at the end of February. But just the whole aspect of learning how to pray is powerful, and it's a great joy. Today, I would like to give you some things that will help you apply it. And we're going to walk through several aspects of prayer together and how to get in a space where God can speak to us. We know that God wants to be in a relationship with us, and he wants to carry on a conversation with us. He wants us to listen. He wants us to speak. And when we get in that place with God, he provides his peace. He provides assurance that he's in control, that we can enter into what he's doing in the world, that we can find our place in it. But we need to get in a space where we can hear him and a space where we can ask according to his will. And that's not always apparent. So we're going to begin this morning with several connection points, ways that we can come to the realization that God is present with us and we can do it practically. And I think the most important part of this is the being still. Scott likes to call me Reverend Go. And so I'm a person that's not real still a lot of the time. So I need to really hear this part more than anybody. And we have taken Psalm 46:10, which is the passage which talks about being still and knowing that I am God. It's a common refrain in the Bible. And it's worth understanding, well, why is this being written in this particular psalm? What was going on in the verses before Psalm 46:10 that would want us to be still? And the first observation I saw as I looked at that passage, the longer passage, verses 1 through 10, is that it is not just talking about not being distracted, which all of us, of course, deal with and have many distractions, but it is the ceasing of striving to solve problems. It is worrying about the situations around us and thinking it's only me or it's only my family. Where's God in this? It is a call to stop everything and realize that God is in control. Be still and know that I'm God. Realize I am here. I am exalted among the nations. And so we start there with stopping. And it is not a quiet time that this happens. There's a lot of turmoil going on. But we come to realize that God is with us. He is the Almighty God who is with us. In this passage, it says that the nations are in uproar, the kingdoms fall, he lifts his voice, the earth melts, and yet God is with us. And he is also a God who promises to help us, to be an ever-present help in trouble. When that is said, right before it says, God is our refuge and our strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. So these words were written when God's people were in fear and when they were in danger. That's a perfect time to receive that. It's a perfect time to be still. When things aren't going well, when there's crisis in the family, maybe when there's crisis in the world, it's a time to stop and say, I am loved by a God who wants to get rid of my fear. And God is a helper, always found in times of trouble. Question is that consistent with your own experience? Do you feel like that? That you can pause in the midst of whatever is bothering you, and you know that He is there and that His presence is there? Well, the next part after stopping is coming to sense His presence. And part of that is the practice of learning to listen. Now, most of us picture prayer as kind of like a monologue, where we talk to God and we share our needs and we wait and there's kind of a silence. And when people talk about a dialogue, it's sort of like, well, what dialogue? I don't hear anything. How do we talk to God in a dialogue? So I want to give you some ways that that works practically. Because listening prayer centers around a request for guidance. It's a waiting in a time of need, often a time of stress. And it's given God the opportunity to speak to us and to somehow break in to our crazy thoughts, our fears, our distractions, and to actually hear Him. Now, Jesus made a wonderful point of explaining how this works by using the metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep. And He said in John, the shepherd hears His voice, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, some preachers have gotten the idea that God only speaks through the written words of the Bible, and that He doesn't speak in any specific word today. That's one camp of preachers. There's another camp that seems to hear God's voice directly in their mind every single day. And they walk around saying, God told me this, and God told me that. So for the average person, I think we're mostly confused. Is it this? Is it just God's word? Or is it God's voice literally in my head? Or is it somewhere in the middle? And I think this metaphor that Jesus used helps explain this in a wonderful way. First thing I want you to realize when you think about this whole passage about the shepherd and the sheep and hearing His voice is that Jesus is leading us somewhere. He's leading the sheep to a destination. And that when we are His sheep, we will recognize that He's doing something to lead us to a destination. That's His voice. It says He calls us by our names. It's a personal leading that He's giving. And He goes before us, so we're not alone, we're not going out. First thing, we're actually following Jesus, so he's given us some clues, He's given us something to follow, and we can recognize that He's doing that. That's what He's promised to do if we ask. So what this does, and I'll show you how this can work, is that it helps us to feel His presence and His power and His peace. And oftentimes, given that the call for help, even the call to be still, is in turmoil, we actually have a feeling. We have a sense that, oh, you know, I'm not carrying this alone. God is with me. He is there. So we go back to that Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, and we will not fear. We don't have that feeling of fear. Though the earth give way and fall into the heart of the sea and the mountains quake, all those things are happening around us, and yet we feel and we sense God's presence. And it is in our time of great need that we should expect to hear something from God. Now, that might not be a voice in our heads, but it will be something that will lead us to where God wants us to go if we're willing to listen. So we need to put aside some of that confusing noise and focus. I don't know if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night, unable to sleep. Perhaps maybe you're worried about something, and all of a sudden you get this moment of clarity. I've had that happen several times, many times. In fact, it turns out that that's one of the times in my life when I know God's speaking. Because usually my day is filled, I'm doing stuff, I go to bed, and then suddenly my mind is racing, and I wake up and the idea comes. The insight comes to solve whatever the problem was that I was trying to sleep on. And often, I will stop, turn on the light. I'll try not to wake up Andrea, my wife. And I write it down because it's coming like a flood. And then I'll put it back and I'll go to bed and I'll wake up the next morning and read what I wrote. Because it's just like a flood. But that is one way. There are many ways that God will interrupt the craziness and he will give us clarity. This is where wisdom comes in. And this is what James is talking about in 1 chapter 5. He says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. So in that moment of questioning, or the time of stress, or the need that presents itself, ask for wisdom and wait. Think about, when has God last answered a prayer like that in your own life? For making a decision, for knowing how to respond to someone. Dealing with wisdom. It's a very practical level. And one of the ways, in fact, the primary way that God does this is through his word. But the trick is making it apply to the situation at hand. Because we can always open the Bible and read something and it doesn't apply. But the wonder happens when, for some reason, we open a passage, maybe something we'd planned to read, or maybe something we just decided to open for the day, and that particular word was exactly what we needed to hear today. I tell you, that is never an accident. It's never an accident. And thank God his word is so full of good things for us that pretty much you can land on any passage and it'll apply to something in our lives. But often he will just direct the word to you for that day. That's his leading. That's where the shepherd has arranged your circumstances so that you run right into what his guidance is. And I want to show you a way that you can put that to work in a very, very practical and powerful way in your own life. It's called SOAP. It's a method I have been using and learned many years ago. It's so simple. It's like, you know, you get clean from soap. It is being taught the Holy Scriptures and in the process being given wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. See, God does speak through his word primarily, and we can apply it. So it's basically this: Scripture, observation, application, prayer. That is SOAP. And you start with Scripture. Now, this might seem like a random thing, or it might be a plan, but take a Scripture and read it. Now, when we did the devotions for Restoring Rhythms, on the day that we covered SOAP, I used a passage from Matthew which had the words of Jesus. Because I thought, you know, if you want to hear the words of Jesus and recognize his voice, why not read the red letters? And that might be something you want to try. Just take some time and go through gospel passages with the red letter part, if you have a Bible that has red letters still, and read the words of Jesus and see what it says. Observe. The passage I picked for the devotion this week is Matthew chapter 6, which talks about worry, about seeking God's kingdom first. So you read, well, what is it saying about not worrying? I'm sure I'm worried about something. What does it say about worry? And then how does that apply to my own circumstances? What am I thinking about today? What is concerning me today? Write it down. And then finally, once you get all that, you've seen the Scripture, you've observed what it says, you write a specific application. Now the Word of God has gone from something abstract to something that is dealing with an issue you have right now. And you put a prayer down and write it down and keep track of it. Maybe go back and see if there's an answer. See, as we do that, we become able to obey his voice. We become able to follow what he said. And you can very easily point to the fact that, you know, that was Jesus' word. It fit what my need was. I don't know why it was the word that I picked today, but it was. And I want to obey what it said about not worrying. It's the word applied. Now, that is the posture to begin the second part of what we're going to talk about today as we close. So we begun with getting quiet somehow, with being still. We've sought to listen by using his word primarily and also just being aware of everything around us and our surroundings. And now we're going to speak. And there are three things I want to teach you about today that are very powerful and are very much commanded in the Bible for us to do when we speak to God. So we started off thinking prayer was just about speaking to God, maybe our needs. And one of the aspects of speaking, and we call these speaking postures, is what is called petition. That is when we ask things for ourselves. Now, you might think, well, is that right to do? Is it right to ask for myself? Is that selfish? If you look at the Lord's Prayer, one of the parts of the Lord's Prayer is a petition. It's, give us this day our daily bread. So we're told to ask for ourselves. It's not selfish. And in fact, when the Hebrew and Greek words that describe prayer are used, usually they mean to request or to make a petition. So the Bible unabashedly recommends that we ask for ourselves, to tell our requests to God for what we need, and to seek the kingdom of God above all else. Now, this is the key to unanswered prayer, too, because sometimes we pray and we're not sure we're supposed to ask for what we're asking for. Now, that might be because there's a sin involved. You know, I'm asking for something that is not good for me. Or maybe you don't know if it's good for you, but you're asking for it. And there is an inability to discern God's heart when we are asking for things that are not according to his will. So God wants us to orient ourselves to seek his will and to seek his kingdom. And so here's how it works together with what we just talked about. If you're in a listening space, you are expecting Jesus to show you something as he leads you towards something. And you're asking for wisdom, so you ask for the right things. And you seek his kingdom first. And all of a sudden you're asking for yourself, not just for something, but for wisdom. You're asking for insight so that you ask for the right thing. You think you know what you need, but for sure, God knows what you need. And if we spend time, we can ask all we want for the things we think we need. And as he gives wisdom, he will hone in and align our motivations to ask according to his kingdom and his will, so that he will give us everything that we need. Now, I want you to remember, if you're a parent, that when your kids ask you for things, usually it's a joy. And that's how God is, too. He loves for us to ask him for things because it builds relationships. When our kids come with a need, my daughter wanted a hamster yesterday, and so we were talking about that on our group chat. And it's like, you know, hey, I'm excited. You have a need, you know, and why not? You know, and there's nothing more important to God than even our anxiety we feel, maybe over a surgery, or maybe our exasperation over people in our life or our children. Maybe it's desperation about what to do about aging parents. We ask for safe travels on busy highways. We ask that airline flights not be canceled so we can see our families. We ask for pipes not to freeze during the cold snap. We ask for the power to remain on during the playoff game, right? And maybe we even ask for certain teams to win. And God loves it. Really, don't be guilty for asking. It's of great importance to him because he's our Father. But it's not the only thing we ask for. So put it in balance with other things too. Because God also wants us to ask for others with the same intensity that we ask for ourselves. Now, you know that verse, love one another as you love yourselves. You know, we love to ask for ourselves, and maybe our immediate family, but he has a desire and a love for others, even strangers, even enemies, that he wants us to have that kind of intensity for, and that's called intercession. It's a desire that gives, it's a desire far more than we have the ability to give. So when we're asked to pray for someone, often you know someone gets sick and there's a prayer chain in there. You're said, pray for this person, they're in the hospital. And we begin to pray. You pray, you have no solution. All you have is, I heard this, I'm going to pray right now. It's a way to love people, to put their concerns above ourselves. And here is a confidence that comes, not only for asking for ourselves, but for others. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. That is intercession. Now, I want to tell you a couple of stories about intercession that are very personal to me, to give you an idea how powerful this is. One of them involves a breakdown in a relationship in my own family. When I was young, my dad's sister passed away and left her two sons, who were my age, orphans, and they came and lived in our family when I was 12 years old. And they became our extended larger family. I had two younger sisters. My relationship, particularly with the oldest one of those cousins, Charles, was not good. And we had a breakdown relationally during high school that really never recovered for years. I remember at one point I was holding anger at him, and God said, you need to write him a letter. And you need to write in that letter that you forgive him, and you need to send it to him. So I spent some time, I wrote this letter, and I mailed it, and I never heard a response. So I just continued to pray for him. I left it with God, I left this letter, and I thought, this will never heal. I didn't have any expectation it would heal. Now, years later, I got a phone call, and Charles called me and said, Rick, guess what? I'm a Christian. I started going to a church, and I work with young people now. Now, I was completely surprised. I would never have expected, first of all, for him to call me, and second of all, for him to tell me that. All that I had done all those years was pray. I had given up my bitterness. I'd given it to God. I'd opened the door for a relationship which never materialized, and I prayed. And someone else was sent to minister to him and lead him to Jesus. Another person who I didn't know. But I prayed. And intercessory prayer is seeking that God will take some situation, some circumstance, and he will make it the way he wants to make it. And sometimes he will do it. And you know what would have happened if I had never prayed for Charles? Or if I had never written that letter? Perhaps that letter actually made a difference. Perhaps it planted a seed. I don't know. If I had never done any of those things, would I have been that excited when he called? No, because I wasn't thinking about him. In fact, I was mad at him. You know, God have mercy on your soul. That's what I would have said. But God had done a work in me, and I had prayed for him, and he had come to Jesus. Another story of intercession just happened a few weeks ago. My daughter went into the hospital with a very serious kidney issue, and we began to pray. And as we found out how serious it was, we started to look at the circumstances around it, how she had decided to go in because she had self-diagnosed herself on the internet. And we all thought, man, you're going to be a little extreme there, but okay, yeah, go ahead and check it out. Turned out she was right, and God had led her, and she went into the hospital early, and if she hadn't, maybe bad things would have happened. When we found out that there was a problem, the prayer chain went out with all kinds of people starting to pray for her. Some of you were part of that. And when the answer came, I wrote back to everybody I knew was praying, and we celebrated God's goodness because she got better. We looked at the circumstances. We celebrated together, and we all were part of a miracle, at least in my mind, looking at what happened. In fact, for her, I said, you know, you're a 20-year-old. Do you realize God led you? God's voice told you to look up the thing on the internet and get you to the right people, and three people had to let you into that hospital that had all these patients, and you were in the hallway that first night. That's because God led you. His voice. He spoke to you. Do you see? So together with others, we interceded, and we all celebrated together. It's so powerful, intercession. He works through it. One of the ways you can pray for your family. Richard Foster, who is one of the foundations, he wrote a book on prayer. He's one of the foundations for our devotions this week. He talks about how he prays for his family, and I want to read this to you. He says, after prayer for my immediate family, I wait quietly until individuals or situations spontaneously rise to my awareness. And I then offer these to God, listening to see if any special discernment comes to guide the content of the prayer. So he's waiting. Next, I speak. I speak forth what seems most appropriate in full confidence that God hears and he answers. And throughout the time, I might jot down brief notes in a small prayer journal as I sense the Spirit giving instruction. And over a time, a pattern sometimes emerges that holds the key to the person's need. Then it informs the direction of what I pray about later, the intercession I give. You see the process there. There's the intentionality. There's journaling. There's waiting. There's impressions. There's God's word. And things happen. So this leads us to the final, and I think one of the most challenging aspects of speaking prayer. Sometimes we've never actually tried this. We're pretty familiar with praying for ourselves, I think. We're pretty familiar with praying for the needs of others, especially those who are sick or when there's a crisis. But here's one that Jesus used a lot, and he told his followers that they could do as well, and it's called speaking authoritatively God's will, being confident to share and to speak when it's right and good. Jesus prayed this way. In fact, he instructed his followers to do it as well. And there's a passage in Mark where he says, if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. So don't doubt and trust and speak directly to the mountain. He did this with the wind and the waves, spoke to them. He did it with the lepers. He told the lepers, be clean. He spoke to those with deaf ears and said, hear. He spoke to the blind and see. He had Lazarus raised from the dead and said, come forth. So Jesus did this quite a bit. And then he also sent his followers out into the villages and gave them authority over disease and sickness. And he told them, go and do this same thing. So how does that work for us? What are we supposed to do? By what authority do we declare something done? This is where Jesus talks about the kingdom, and this is where the Lord's Prayer plays in. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a declarative statement from the Lord's Prayer. God wants us to discern what is happening and speak it in faith that he is part of the solution. In fact, he is the driver of the solution. So authoritative prayers call on God's divine power. And there is a special thing that happens when we do that. There's a confidence that happens when we do that. He says in John, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do. So Jesus did all those things I just described. And in fact, will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. There is a multitude of problems to solve in the world. And we need to believe that Jesus is very aware of all those things around us. He wants to enter into every single one of those things around us, and he wants us to do it relationally because he wants those people to realize when the answer comes, he gave it. And the only way that they're going to realize that is awareness that he is involved. So authoritative prayer is a very powerful thing. It's a discernment to see what's happening. And I'll tell you, one of the best ways to practice authoritative prayer is together with others. Because, you know, you put a few people together in a room and you begin to pray for something, and sometimes it will align. I don't know if you've ever had that happen in a small group where someone is ill or there's a situation and someone goes, you know, that's something's wrong about that. We need to pray about that. It's not right that person's sick. Or that situation is not resolved. Those people need to, you know, there's a barrier between those two people that is wrong. We need to pray into, and multiple people begin to pray. And there is a power there. It says, where two or three gather in my name, I am with them. This is what God does in the midst of us as we pray with authority. So those are three things. There is that petition, there's intercession, and then there's authoritative prayer. And I would like to give you an application as we leave this morning and as you watch online. I want you to think about a new discipline this week that you can try. It's a three-hour exercise. One of the hours happens in a day. One of the hours happens over the week. And the other one is broken up in tiny little pieces. Okay? It's an hour, but it's broken up. The first one is an hour for yourself. And that is an hour just to focus on God somehow during the day. Now, that might not happen 1 hour sitting during the day. Maybe it's of 20 minutes here and 20 minutes there, but breaks. Just to pray alone. To stop, to maybe journal, maybe to do soap, but to take an hour for yourself. The second hour is an hour with others. It's the intercessory and authoritative prayer, and it has to do with finding other people to pray with during the entire week. Finding 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, at the end of a small group. Maybe someone's in need and they're sick, and just stopping and praying with them. But finding time over a whole week, 1 hour, to pray with someone else. Can you do it? Have you ever measured that for yourself? How often do you pray with somebody else, a spouse? Maybe if you're at home with your wife or your husband, maybe take 5 minutes and pray every day. You'll make up that hour pretty quick if you can manage that. But just try to see, can I cobble together an hour of prayer with other people? And would it be possible, even if I broke it up, to have an hour of prayer for myself during the day? So those are the two. And then the third one is even more interesting and challenging. While you walk around and as you interact with people, whoever they are, silently pray for them when you encounter them. So you're at Costco, you're in the mall, you're doing something in the town, you're at church and you're sitting next to somebody. Whatever it is, you're observing, you're praying, and especially if the person doesn't know Jesus, you're praying that God might show himself to them. Maybe it's someone else, or maybe you'll have a conversation. And if you have a conversation and there's a need, you stop and pray for them. But try that. See what happens. Wouldn't that be a cool application? Measure it. Write it down in your journal. See what God does in 2022. Just doing that alone. I want to pray for us. I want to have confidence that God has something that he spoke today, that he had a reason for having me do this message this morning, and that he has something specific for you to do, because when we hear his voice, what does he do? He's leading us somewhere. So follow that voice and go where he wants us to go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for this time that we have spent together. Thank you that your word is so full of wisdom that we can pretty much open any passage and land on something that will hit us for the day. That is not an accident. That's your doing. And so as we seek to do and apply and obey, to even practice prayer on a regular basis, alone, with others, with eyes wide open to be available, may you do something very special within us. May you help us. And for those who think, I don't ever hear Jesus' voice, Lord, may we have a time of welcoming too, that, Lord, we would welcome you into our lives, that we can begin to hear you and know that you would care for us and love us. So thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let your glory fill this house, pour it is soon returning. As we hold to this assurance, Spirit, come.
For worshiping with us again this morning. As you go out this week, I just want to encourage you to do the application Rick shared this morning. Be prayerful this week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.